Dearly beloved, we are gathered here for the 32nd graduation and Thanksgiving service of the Far Eastern Bible College. This is also the 45th year of the founding of the college. I well remember that day, 1962, when we sat, just a small number of us, and we discussed, among other things, what the college will do and what to call the college. And unanimously, we agreed the name should be Far Eastern Bible College, a college of the Bible. God gave the founder, the Reverend Timothy Toh, the vision that life church without the college will last a generation, but with the college, it will endure. By this year, the college has trained over 600 men and women. But I reckon it is more important, more significant, that it also helps to found other Bible colleges. One in Myanmar, there is Burma. One in Kenya, one in Tanzania. If not founded by our college, it is supported and helped. And we have our graduates in Indonesia who have started two Bible colleges, one in Batam, just a stone's throw away, one in Pontianak. Dear friends, please pray for these colleges, how we need them in such an hour, for such a time as this, when Bible colleges who are supposed to teach the Word of God are denying or trampling down underfoot the Word of God. The college began with one staff and three students. Today, as you have heard, there are 14. It is good always to recall history. History is a good teacher, perfect teacher. And it is good we know how God led one man. I always recall the Life Church Weekly. In the front has the principal's name, telephone number, and after that number, it says, call any time. I recall when I went to London and worshipped at the Westminster Chapel, the famous Westminster Chapel, after Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones had gone there, there was a successor. And I was told his telephone number is confidential. Don't call. And he preaches only once or twice a week. So we must appreciate what we have received. And therefore, we owe a debt. How that one man began the college, in his own words, on a shoestring. Shoestring budget days are over. But the debt we owe must be repaid. The Apostle Paul says he is a debtor. And I say, all of us would do well to say the same. If you have received the gospel, you owe a debt. Never forget that. We thank God the college continues to be blessed by the Life Church in symbiotic relationship. The church is blessed that makes the college the object of its care. And may God bless those who exercise that charity for God's college. FEBC is the college of the Bible. And our Bible is one, the King James. Recent indications show that very, very few churches use the King James Bible today. Whatever the reason, I will tell you shortly. But Please understand, this is not an accident. But God has a plan to allow the forces of iniquity, satanic forces, to ascend on the world stage to overthrow the King James Bible so that a new Bible will take its place. It's good we all remember history of the King James Bible, for if you know, and if those churches which have abandoned the King James Bible were to know and to appreciate and to love that part of history, they will never, never abandon the King James Bible. For it is because of ignorance or because of deception that they think they are getting a better deal by going on to some new Bible. As I was preparing for this message, one of the key points that struck me was this. The King James Bible is 85% Tyndale Bible. Did you know that? And when you know that, then you must know the history of Tyndale. Who was Tyndale? What did he do? When you understand who Tyndale was and what he did, you will never, never, I emphasize, want to give up the King James Bible because it is Tyndale Bible. And I'm sure today's convocation will be worth its time you spend here if you just learn one thing. King James Bible is the successor or succession of the Tyndale Bible. A Bible that came to us with the blood of the martyrs. So we owe a great debt to this man. That's him. Born 1492, before the Reformation took off. And when he found the light, to his horror, he realized that his fellow countrymen in England did not have the light. For they were under a church whose priests were teaching them another gospel. A different gospel, a gospel that cannot save. For that so-called gospel was by works, doing penance, buying indulgences for their salvation and all kinds of dark doctrines out of the church. Tyndale had one consuming desire. Let me, who knows Greek and Hebrew, translate. For how many English people knew Hebrew and Greek? And that is where the Word of God is. Inspired men wrote, not in English, nor in Chinese, but Hebrew in the Old Testament, Greek in the New Testament, and there was hidden the truth of God. So Tyndale says, if God spare my life, let me use it to translate, to make available and to print thousands of these copies of God's Word that my people may know what God is saying to me. So he did. Here is an acknowledgement, not mine, but all those who know and love the Lord, that William Tyndale was the father of the English Bible. Without Tyndale, we would not have King James Bible today. There was one man who was called of God and who gave his whole life, eventually ending up in the stake to be burnt What? Why? What for? Only because he loved God and his word. And said, my people must know that word, because once you know that word, you are set free from the ignorance and superstition and the wrong doctrine of the church. How sad it is. So, he was a hero of the English Reformation. You know, dear friends, we all hear of Martin Luther, don't you? Reformation means Martin Luther. On Zwingli or Knox. But remember, we are talking about the English Reformation. Who was it that gave the strength and the foundation and the security and the stability of the Reformation? It's one man, William Tyndale. And he gave his life for it. In order that my country may be free from the oppression of the Satanic church that rules the people. Can you imagine a people who are controlled by priests from the cradle to the grave? And Tyndale says, no. Only the Bible will set them free. Not only did Tyndale give his people the doctrines so precious in the Bible, but he gave them the English language. You never knew this, did you? English scholars and students are always told, we learn our English from the great man called Chaucer. Now, listen to this. The British Library and the American Library of Congress, the two major English libraries in the world, says this: we publicly affirm, contrary to what history has been telling people about Chaucer being father of the English language, this mantle belongs actually to William Tyndale. Because William Tyndale's English is read by at least 10,000 times more people than who read Chaucer. Simply because he wrote so much. And in those days after the Reformation was established, everybody was reading King James Bible. Tyndale's English is enshrined in the KJV. And it has molded the speech of generations of readers through centuries of time. Now listen to this. The British Library described Tyndale's New Testament 1526 as the most important book ever printed in English. Just one book, and I have it here. Show it now. That is the enlargement of this. Right. This is a print, a modern print, but this is a print of the original Tyndale New Testament 1526. And the British Library, please understand, British Library is not Christian or religious in any way. But it says, if there is any one book that is most important ever printed in English, it is this book. Because people learn their English from it. And the people learn how to live from it. And how to be free from superstition and wrong teaching from it. This book is the most important one book. And where do you find this book today? 90% of it in your King James Bible. Oh dear friends, those who want to throw this away and say, let's use NIV. They do not know what they are doing. They do not know what they are losing. So, you know, the enemies of the King James Bible keep on drumming into our heads that the English in the King James Bible is archaic, out of date, Elizabethan, no such thing. Dear friends, see. Now, again, this is a secular opinion. This is not from me or any church.
Harvard University research says the English in the King James Bible is more attractive, more accurate than all the modern versions. Now that disproves and calls the lie of all those who promote modern English versions. You read any of them, NIV, RSV, NEB, every one of them will say, now you have the Word of God in modern English, understandable, so good, so accurate, so faithful. Oh, nonsense. Here it is. Who says so? Harvard University research. So, my friends, thank God for these things. And the kind of words they use to malign the King James Bible are disproved. Just remember, common expressions that we all say in our daily speech, let me quote to you, came from the King James Bible. Am I my brother's keeper? Fight the good fight of faith? Eat, drink, be merry, tomorrow we die. Who said all this? Who? Tyndale. Where do you find it? King James. Oh, dear friends, I can go on quoting, but time doesn't allow me. Most important, let us remind ourselves. Tyndale's New and Old Testaments were the first ever translation directly from the original languages. Wycliffe did a good job, but his translation was from the Latin. God gave the vision to Tyndale, says, I must get to the original languages. Latin is a translation from the Hebrew and the Greek. So Tyndale says, no, no good. I mustn't go second hand, I must go first hand. And so he went straight to that. Listen to what the Times of London, you know the Times newspaper, the most important in England, what does it say? The Times of London says the basis of all English language Bibles until the recent fiasco, that is, until the ascent of new English Bibles, until then, is the King James Bible. That is the basis for all English Bibles. It is the basis, meaning the foundation, the best, is what? The King James Bible. Its phrases and cadences are so woven into the language of everyday speech. And as written in the Bible, very hard for you to recognize that it came from one man, Tyndale. What a debt we owe him. Now the Times refers to the fiasco that brought down the King James Bible. What do we understand by this? OHB number 5. No, sorry. Number 4. Now, it is important. I said you must know something of history. For if you do not know history, you are going to be doomed. All right. History and English Bibles. 16th century is well known for the Reformation. And out of the Reformation, God gave us the greatest gift of all. Sola Scriptura. Right? King James Bible. That is God's gift. The Reformation passes away. People tend to forget it. But the Word of God, inscripturated in the King James Bible, continues to be available to us, to sustain us. Now came 17th and 18th century. What happened then? The counter-reformation forces were working. For, please understand, in the church scene, there is only one power, only one secular power. It is the Church of Rome. Whether you like it or not, it is the Church of Rome. We are a Bible Presbyterian church. How many are there in the whole world? I don't know whether we have 50,000, maybe not. How many are there in the Roman church? 1.2 billion, please understand. And they call the shots, because in this world, whatever you say, numbers count. So they call the shots. And 17th century, they're working hard to overthrow the English Reformation, because all those on the continent are not a problem. They are all under the control of Rome already. Now this rebel England must be brought back to the fold. How do you do it? Revise the King James Bible. I put there revisionism. Because the King James Bible is the sore spot, the thorn in the side, the one that unites the English people into one to stand up against Rome and say, we are a Protestant nation. That Bible must be brought down. How do you bring down that Bible? It was a national treasure. The whole country is united because King James Bible. It is authorized by the King. That Bible must be brought down. And how do you do it? Revise. Now you understand why there was a revision. Why there are Bibles which are called Revised Version, Revised Standard Version, New Revised Standard Version. What are all these? These are anti-King James Bible. That's why. So, the result of this revisionism is the Revised Version 1881. Now that I call the breaking down of the dike of defense against the intrusion of ecumenism. Yes. King James Bible stands there like a solid rock, but if you poke holes in it and it's like a dike, keeping out the seawater, you make one hole and the water comes in, eventually the whole wall will collapse. This is what has happened. 20th century is a century of ecumenism. This is prophetic. There is nothing you can do to stop it. So, what must we do? I say, well, what must you do? Stand fast, my dear friends, and defend the Word of God against these continuing and accelerating and aggravating attacks on the Word of God. 20th century comes modern English versions. Where did they come from? You look up the previous line. W&H, Westcott and Hort. Two secret Mary worshippers, sympathizers with the Roman Church. And they were the arch enemies planted within the committee that was revising the King James Bible. And they brought in thousands of changes into the King James Bible. To be accurate, 36,000 changes. So that when it came out, revised version was not King James Bible revised, but a new Bible revised. And this is the beginning of the MEVs, revised version. 20th century also saw the rise of new evangelicalism. We were always called evangelicals because we believe in the pure gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the new evangelicals mean, say, we don't want to separate from those who do not believe. We will infiltrate. We will fellowship. And there is a difference. And the 20th century was the rise of new evangelicalism, which is the greatest betrayal of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we come to the 21st century. 21st century sees us in the end of the end times, the last of the last days, meaning to say, everything is gathering into one world system. It is right here in front of your eyes, shaping up. Right? We have no time to go into it. But this is a trend from belief and faith in the one true Bible to the one world church. And all the modern English Bibles are geared, doctored, changed to accommodate the one world system. That is why we do not use NIV or NEB or RSV. Because all of them are doctored. Next. Satan's master stroke is to use those who are within the ranks. Now we call ourselves fundamentalists. And here is a group of fundamentalists, so-called. And they're all associated, apparently, with the Bob Jones University. Bob Jones University is said to be one of the last remaining bastions of fundamentalism. But here is an infiltration already. 19 theologians wrote a book called From the Mind of God to the Mind of Man. And these people say, don't run down the new Bibles. Modern English Bibles are good. Let's see what they say. From the mind of God or the mind of man, they say, we affirm even the worst translation of the Bible is the Word of God. There is no cause why it should be denied or forbidden. There is no ground for you to say, don't use NIV. Because, they say, even the worst, even if they contain words which attack the doctrine, they said, never mind. Why? They are still good, they are still the Word of God. And so you must not forbid. Now this comes out of Bob Jones University. 19 theologians. 17 of them are confessed Baptists. So where are we? Dear friends, be warned, be informed. Ignorance is not a help nowadays. No, it's never been a help any time. But I'm telling you this. There is a word you got to know. I learned it. You better learn too. It's called imprimatur. It's Latin. Imprimatur means let it be printed. I give the permission. Who? The Pope. And these Bibles are allowed to be printed and to be read and to be taken by Roman Catholics. NIV. Do you know the NIV is owned by a Roman Catholic man called Rupert Murdoch? You know him. He owns the News Corp. He owns Fox Television. And he owns many, many other things. He's worth many tens of billions of dollars. His annual turnover is $10 billion. And 3 days ago, he wanted to buy up Dow Jones. Did you all read it? Yeah. But the owners of Dow Jones says, not yet, not yet. But he's got plenty of money. And he owns NIV. And when the news came that, wow, Rupert Murdoch has bought over the NIV by buying Zondervan, the share price shot up $4.52. No, God's word today is made into a merchandise. Merchandise. The only Bible that has no copyright is the King James Bible. Do you know that? All the modern versions are under copyright rule because there is money involved. Only the King James Bible is not out there to make merchandise of you. So, all these four have the Pope's approval. Imprimatur. Except King James Bible. It will never, never qualify because it is the Bible that broke the hold of Rome on England and liberated, set England free. Now, did it ever occur to you why God used Tyndale to write the Bible in English? Why did he not inspire or call on somebody in Germany or France or Spain or China? Why? Why not China? Well, China has got the most number of people and surely it's good, isn't it? My dear friends, God is wiser than men. God foresaw the end time for lingua franca. Lingua franca means the common language is what? You would never have dreamed a generation ago, but the computer changed everything. You cannot use a computer You cannot fly an aeroplane without English. Do you know that? You cannot fly because all the commands are in English. And if you don't understand, you could land in the wrong place, you finish. So the end time has done something most miraculous, most marvelous, because a century ago, the French were saying, our French is the most wonderful, precious language. It should be the lingua franca. You fight the French, they are very proud people. Now you don't need to fight the French. The computer has conquered them. You cannot use the computer without English. That's it. Today you cannot understand the advancement of science and technology and medicine without English. You must know English. Today, the Chinese are busily learning English, American style. No joke. Why? Olympics coming to Beijing. Oh, the whole world will laugh at you, China people, China men cannot speak English. So you see, things happen that change the whole world scene, but God knew it. Tyndale? English is the arena where my word will be translated and the debate and the battle will go on over my word in English, not Chinese or German. So you must know your English Bible. So God knew all this, of course, and He directed that Tyndale, you will do my word translated into English. Today, estimated at least 2 billion people know English. At least 2 billion. 75 countries have it as first or second language. And this is to prepare. The end time is a return to Genesis 11 when all the world was of one language to build the Tower of Babel. In the end time, the unified language will enable them to build a new Tower of Babel called Babylon. That is Revelation 17. Without the common language, they will fail. Next. Tyndale had only one purpose in life. I must work on the Bible for my people in the English language. England is not safe because the Bishop of London is against me. The King is against me. The Archbishop is against me. Everybody in power is against me. If I try to, I'll be burned. For during his lifetime, he had seen hundreds being burned simply for reading or teaching or possessing the Bible. Burn! So he exiled himself to the continent, and there he translated. Dear friends, it's not a laughing matter. We owe him a debt we cannot pay. We do not know how to pay. Until 1536, they betrayed him and took him to burn. William Tyndale, before his captors, said the last word. Lord, please open the eyes of the king. Then he was strangled, then he was burned. But those words were honored by the Lord, because within 2 years, the king authorized the Bible to be printed and to be put in every parish church throughout England. What must we do, dear friends, in these perilous times? What else can I say to all of us here? This is a well-known verse, because our Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead and is ever triumphant, and in His service there is complete assurance of final victory. Dear friends, never forget this. We serve a living Savior who is now at the right hand of God, coming back for us soon. But before He comes, I say, let us all remember, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. Meaning to say, don't shift from your use of the Word of God in the King James Bible. Don't go for any modern version. There will be more and more modern versions coming out, and everyone will claim to be better than the last one. This is satanic talk. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. God bless you. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, grant that we may never deny thy word, nor the Savior who bled and shed his blood for us, that we might have life eternal. O Lord, bless this congregation this day and forevermore until our Lord Jesus returns. Amen.